Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look at the 5 and 10. It's glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes that glow.
The holidays are a super busy time of year, and it's easy to lose our focus with all the planning, shopping, cooking, and decorating. We all want to have fun during the holidays and not be so exhausted that we can't enjoy ourselves. The question is that possible? Yes. And Marnie Swedberg is here to show us how. As the mentor to over 12,000 super busy leaders from 30 countries, Marnie shares practical, doable success strategies to shorten your learning curve, increase your productivity, and skyrocket your delight in life. She's the author of 12 books, a web hostess, and owner and manager of 2 family businesses. Marnie, welcome to Heartline.
Hi, so great to be here.
We're all so stressed during the holidays. How do we approach them with a relaxed attitude? I know I get ramped up just thinking about it.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much to do. I mean, there's always a lot to do all year. There's a lot to do. Every week we're busy, our schedules are full, and then we try to add in, you know, anywhere from 40 to 100 extra hours worth of work during
yes.
the holidays, and everybody just is like, why are you stressed out?
Exactly.
It's pretty tough, and especially it falls on, a lot of the responsibility falls on the mom in the home. Just so much of everything is left for you to do or to manage or to make sure or to plan or to shop for or to wrap or whatever, and so there is so much stress, and what I encourage you to do is step back and take a little planning time. For every minute you spend planning, you can save anywhere from 10 to 60 minutes in actual productivity time. So the first thing to do is to make a plan. And I don't know, Rita, if I can share a website over at Marnie.com on the front page, you can get the holiday balance wheel.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the wheel.
Yeah, and it's just a circle. So, like, if you want to download it, it's already made up for you. But if you just do it on a sheet of paper right now, so listeners, if you just have a sheet of paper, even in your mind, you can just make this circle, and it's a wheel. Think of a wheel on a bicycle, maybe. And it has spokes. It has 8 spokes going out. And what you're going to do is you're just going to think about each of these spokes as one category of your holiday season. So the top one would be holiday traditions and events, and then it goes on to the next one, personal time and rest, personal diet and exercise, healthy family meals, like that. It goes around the circle. And what you do is you score each of the spokes about how your peace level is. Not how much you already got done, but how your peace level is. Because some of the areas about Christmas don't give you any problem at all. You're fine. You can do it. Backwards, you know, blindfolded, you got it down. And then there's other parts that cause you a lot of stress. So what you want to do is you want to focus your attention in on the areas that are causing you stress and deal with those.
Great. That's a great idea. you know, I used to always get sick during the holidays or after them.
Absolutely.
Because I ran myself into the ground.
Absolutely normal. So, very normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we need to slow it down on the front end and do that planning to avoid holiday burnout.
Right.
So how do we start?
Well, first you're going to just assess your holiday zones and determine which ones are giving you the most stress. And once you do that, then the next question that you're going to ask about whichever zone you're thinking about, doesn't really matter. You're going to start with this question. How do I want to feel at the end of blank? Okay, so you just mentioned that you would typically in the past get sick even, and that's so normal because actually, when you've got the adrenaline going, you can push. You can stay up till 2 in the morning. You can get back up at 5. You know, you can go for a while doing that, but you can't keep going doing that. And so maybe the area that's the toughest for you during the holidays is the personal time and rest. And you have to just step back and say, how do I want to physically feel at the end of the holiday season this year? And most of us wouldn't pick sick in bed.
No.
That's our answer.
It's always
so
a drag.
The next question has to be, what am I willing to do different this year?
Beautiful.
That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. But I want to give us some examples of things that we can do differently that can make a difference for us. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. So one of the things I talk about is holiday cards, mailing out Christmas cards or letters and getting that photo taken and all that. And I just want to encourage you that if that's your area of major stress this year, that you need to just step back and say, what am I willing to change this year? Because honestly, in my mailbox every year, I get everything from cards that have a little scribbled signature and nothing else, all the way to 4-page epistles about everything that ever happened in the whole year for every family member, and everything in between. And not only that, I don't get cards from some people some years. And some people decide to just zip me a personal email or an e-card. So whatever it is that you can do in the area of cards this year, that's what you want to embrace doing. And even for me this year, I'm going to send out my Christmas cards after Christmas. Why? Because my sister's family of 6 is living with us right now, and my adult children are coming home for the holidays, and I want to have a picture with all of us. I have this vision because my brother-in-law is 6'5", and then it goes all the way down to their little 6-year-old Christopher, who's just teeny, and I thought it'd be so fun to have us all just line up in this long line, take a picture, have that go down the outside edge of my letter, and next to each person's body, put a little note about them and send that out, and it's okay with me that that's not going to happen before Christmas. It just can't.
So we're modifying, basically. Huh? We're modifying. We're saying,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You're stepping back and you're saying, what can I be okay with? Because honestly, sometimes other people really don't care. If they hear from you at all, they're happy. You know, we have these huge expectations for ourselves, Rita, and oftentimes nobody else really cares.
Right. That's exactly right. I was reminded of that today. Mm. You know, we have these grandiose ideas of how everything has to be, or you know, I was supposed to have this party this weekend and I wanted to have, you know, just the china out and do it really nice. And everything has gotten turned upside down. And now I've got 20 people instead of the 6 I thought. And,
wow.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, how am I going to modify? This is great. How am I going to modify this so it's not going to be stressful for me?
Right. And I think in that situation, what you can do is you can step back and ask yourself the question in a different way. So you can say, number one, how do I want to feel when everybody's walking out the door on, is it Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When everybody's walking out the door on Saturday night, how do I want to feel about how this all went down? And then I want you to get a really good feeling for that. Just step back and how do you really want to feel? Do you want to feel exhausted and frustrated?
No.
No, of course.
And I don't
want
to have a huge mess.
No,
the
exactly.
problem is
no,
half the people are staying with me, but that's
right.
fine. But you're right.
And then the second question you want to ask, once you get a clear picture of how you want to feel, the second question you want to ask is, how do I want everybody else to feel about how that event went, about how that get-together went? And if you want everybody to be going out going, wow, that was spectacular. She was a Grinch, but what nice china. Then you just go for every last detail.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you got to lower it down. Just
otherwise, I get paper plates and forget it.
That's it. You know, but there's choices all the way along. And sometimes we forget that we have choices because we get into this holiday mode, and our bicycle's just going along, you know, and we've got this thump, 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 thump going every time we hit a stress point, because that's just bugging us in the back of our heads. And what happens is, by the time we get to our major events, when we're supposed to be enjoying ourselves and loving everybody, and they're supposed to be feeling the love from us, you know, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, you
right.
know, but the reality is we get there and we have a meltdown and we say things that we didn't want to say. Sometimes we end up running to our room crying, and it's like, why did we do that to ourselves? Because that's literally what happened. We did it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So we have to take ownership is what you're saying.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
And even stepping back to the point and saying, do I have to do all this myself, or can I hack for some help? You know, most people, they really, if you, let's say that you're the type of person, I'm not talking about you, Rita, personally, but just listeners, if you're the type of person that you do it all every year, you host all these people, and you make all the food, and you spend hundreds of dollars on making this meal, and it's all perfect, and it's all beautiful, and you invite the same people over every year, you know, after a while, those people really long to be able to help you. They long for you to say, could you bring a salad? Or for you to say, wow, this year I'm swamped. I can't do all this. And you will just be amazed that a lot of people will jump in and say, great, because I actually have something I wanted to try, or, you know, I wanted to do this, or that would be great. And I think we'd be surprised how people really do want to share some of our burden if we'll let them.
Yeah, so we have to get in touch with our own personal stuff that's keeping us from doing that.
Where it starts.
Yeah, and so that might be looking at, you know, perfectionistic tendencies, the beliefs we're holding about, you know, we have to be superwoman, all of that. Great point.
Well, and I think that if we start with the question, how do I want to feel at the end of whatever it is that you're thinking about, this whole season or maybe just one day, and then how do I want others to feel about me at the end of that time? And actually, you don't have any control about how others feel about you. But it's kind of like saying, I don't have any control over what I serve at the dinner table. Yeah, I actually do. Now, things may go wrong. It may not turn out the way I want. Something may burn or, you know, not turn out. But actually, I'm going to go for what's on the table. That's my plan. And we can actually go for the kind of emotions that other people are going to have toward us by how we feed them our own emotions throughout the day. Are we stressed out and preoccupied, or are we present in the moment and enjoying their company? And then the third thing you want to ask is, in order to make this happen, what am I going to have to do differently than what I did last year?
Yeah.
And then spend a little time really saying, is it really necessary for us to do the taffy pull in the middle of Christmas Eve? Maybe we could move that another day.
Or maybe we could skip that altogether.
Yeah, and you know, let's talk about traditions for a minute, because this is such a good, this is a huge one. This was really eye-opening for me. And in the Holiday Planning Bootcamp, I go through all these things in detail to kind of help you see what all this is. But just here, when I first went through the section on traditions, when I first did this one exercise myself, I found out that there were some traditions that I had that nobody cared, absolutely nobody. And I was doing the work of it all and the cost of it all and the time of it all, and nobody even cared. So what I have you do is I have you just take a sheet of paper, and on the left side, just number down all of your family traditions. You will be surprised how many you have. Traditions include things like when you open gifts, how you open gifts, when you get the Christmas tree, how you get the Christmas tree, how you put up the Christmas tree, how you put the decorations on the tree. Everything has its own little tradition. You know, some people include like hot cocoa and mm-hmm. my kids sleep under the tree. And I mean, you know, it, all of these traditions are unique to your family, and you've got a whole bunch of them that are all woven throughout this holiday season. Then what you want to do is, once you get that list down and stand back and go, wow, no wonder I feel overwhelmed. Then next to the right side of that, you want to put down who's invested into each of those traditions. And you'll find that one person really cares about, you know, making almond brittle on Christmas Eve. Another person cares about this other thing, you know, and maybe five people care about something else. And you'll find that possibly nobody cares about one or five of them, you know, that you can just say, okay, that one's going off my list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you don't want to do If you have a tradition that even has one person highly vested in it, I mean, this is really what makes Christmas for that person. You don't want to just say, well, because it's only one person, let's just throw it out the window. Don't be like that. Instead, you know, kind of it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So step back a little bit and say, okay, I need to approach this differently because there is only one person interested in this, but they really love that part. So maybe you can talk to them and say, I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. I just have too many things on my platter, but I know that you really care about, you know, whatever it is. Right, exactly, exactly. So would you mind if we switch that to another day, and maybe we could even do it in January sometime and have another family get-together and do that? Or if we do it Christmas Eve, maybe what we can do is plan the evening to start an hour earlier for the people who want to participate in that. They can come an hour earlier if you want to bring the supplies and stuff. Then we can still do it, but it isn't right in the middle of the hubbub because it just gets to be too much for me. I kind of get a headache and get a little overwhelmed or whatever is really true for you. The reality is that most people are really willing to work with you if you express that you have a need and you express true compassion for what they need. At that point, we're on the same page with each other. I have a need, you have a need. Let's see if we can work this out.
Absolutely. It's making that need known. That's the thing. Having the voice, don't feeling like you have to be the one that carries the whole show.
Right.
Because some of those traditions end up with mom doing the whole thing by the end. I mean, it happened with me with the Christmas tree. You know, it used to be a big family thing. And then the older the kids get, you know, dad's putting up the lights and I'm decorating the tree. How about, you know, just our calendar in general? You know, we have this stretch of 6 to 8 weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's craziness. What do we want to look ahead to, and how should we plan for that? What do we want to include in, you know, those 6 to 8 weeks as we look at, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, programs, birthdays, all that?
Right. As you go through each of these eight categories, and I'm just going to whip them off here for you real quick so that if you're like, I don't understand how there could be eight, it's holiday traditions and events. So you want to be putting in all of your events that you know you've got, you know, the kids' choir, Christmas choir mm-hmm. concert, and the kids' piano recital, and the kids' Christmas program at church, and the kids' play over here. And, you know, all of these things have to be built in there. Personal time and rest is the second thing you need to add. So once you get the rock solid events in, the things, you know, people's birthdays and things like that that you have to have on your calendar, the next thing you really want to put in is your personal time and rest. And you want to make sure that every week you are getting a significant period of rest. If God needed to rest after his 6 days of work, you need to rest after yours.
Yes.
You just aren't better than him. So just build that in. You got to put it on your calendar. And then guard it, just like you would guard any of the other events. You're not going to miss the kids' choir concert because somebody else asked you to go to a different party. You're going to say, no, I can't. I got the kids' choir concert. You know, you need to take care of you. Mm-hmm. At some point, take care of you. And maybe, Rita, this is a great time for me to step back for just a second and address the elephant in the room, which is some people listening are going, that's so selfish. I feel so selfish if I take care of me.
But that's notorious for women.
It is. We're built that way. God really made us to be givers. Mm-hmm. That's why it's the old scenario about greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. Mm-hmm. Our greatest strength is that we give. Our greatest weakness is that we give too much. Mm-hmm. And if you think about that, Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? He said, and this is full of the word you, talking about you. He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and you love your neighbor as who? Yourself. Mm-hmm. If you are not taking care of yourself, what you're going to find is that you are not able to take care of other people. That's just how God built us. He built us to require that we have rest, and he even told us how much we need sleep at night, and we need a Sabbath rest every week, and if you don't build those in, you're going to crash and burn. And that's just how he built your body. So he's not going to be able to help you with that when you're overdoing it. He's going to be like, well, I'm sorry, that's kind of what I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got to do that. The third area is personal diet and exercise. And this is one that really gets people mucked up during the holidays because we start eating all the sweets that we see mm-hmm. and we start, you know, we let our exercise program go because we don't have time. But if you will just say, okay, when I am at an event, when I am at one of these places, I'll allow myself to have some of these fun things, but I'm not going to change my regular diet at home. I'm just not. I'm just going to keep on eating healthy as I go along. Same with the exercise. I am not going to drop the exercise routine, because what happens is you stop exercise. If you're normally exercising and then you stop, you'll be so tired,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find that you're getting sick, and your body really wants to move like that. And so even though you're running hard, getting stuff done, it's not the same as working your heart and working your muscles. And so your body really needs that, and you'll find you'll be able to get more done if you keep those two things healthy during the holidays. But give yourself permission to have some holiday fun too. And then the fourth one is healthy family meals. And this is just your everyday family meals as you're going through the holidays. This is really easy to let slide and all of a sudden be getting fast food every day, or throwing in, you know, frozen pizza every night, and feeling bad about yourself and about everybody's.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is just right now grab a piece of paper and write down five of your favorite quick fix meals. So what is your family? Maybe it's taco salad, or, you know, whatever. You just come up with whatever your five easiest to make, really fast to make, but when you put it on the table, you feel great about it. Okay? Write those five down, and then make up a little grocery list that just has the ingredients for those five meals. The next time you go to the store, buy every ingredient you would need for all of those meals, and you don't have to buy it if you already have it on hand, but make sure you have at least enough ingredients to make all five of those meals anytime you want, and go through the rest of your life just like normal. But every time that you use up one of those ingredients, you've got to replace it the next time you go to the store. That way, no matter how busy you are, you get to have dinner tonight at home with your family, because you have the 15 minutes and you don't have to run to the store to get a missing ingredient, or you don't have to stand in line, or you don't have to find a parking spot. You can just go home and do it.
Yeah, talk about stress relief.
That's huge. This is a huge strategy. That's from my book, Kitchen Shortcuts. Okay, now, the fifth category is Christmas cards and letters, and we already talked about that. You don't have to do it the same way you've already done it. Back up mm-hmm. a little bit. Consider some alternatives. And if you are taking a family picture, the key here is to have everybody happy. And again, how you enter the picture is going to change so much about how that photo shoot goes down. If you're cranky, if you're agitated, if you are upset, if you've got them to, you know, you had them running all day long, you know, trap it, and then at the end we're going to go to the studio and do the picture or whatever, it's not going to be smiling eyes. And really, in the long run, if your family looks back at that picture and remembers how awful it was, it's really not worth it.
Right.
So just, you know, just make them a deal. You know, if you guys smile really big for this picture, here's what we're going to do. And pick the favorite family, you know, whatever the favorite family treat is, and reward them afterwards. Take the time, build that into how much time you're going to have to do it, and make it a tradition to have something really fun around the photo. So that not only do you get your cards and letters out, and there's a lot more help with that in the planning, but most people, you know, the Christmas photo can be so stressful. Okay, then the tree home decorating. A lot of you are already done. Some of you don't begin this until Christmas Eve, which is, like, from my perspective, I start as soon as I can. I mean, we get the, you know, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving dinner off the table, and I want to put the tree up.
Me too.
That's how I am, you know. But I have friends who really wait until Christmas Eve, and even that's their tradition, is put up the tree and decorate it on Christmas Eve. So once again, you know what? The only person who cares is who? Mm-hmm. You. Mm-hmm. If you have people in your family who care, you have to talk about the changes you want to make with them. But even, I seen a live boot camp a couple weeks ago, and somebody was present there who isn't going to get to decorate their tree. The tree's up, but there's lights on it, but that's it. There's no time to put the ornaments on, and that's where they are this year. And what was really fun about that is that I was able to share the story about the year that's exactly where I was. We had just purchased a new business. We'd purchased a restaurant, and I was working just around the clock at the restaurant, and I just didn't have time to do my tree. So what I did is we bought visors for all the staff because they didn't want to share hats. So we bought visors and put, you know, had their names on the visors. That's what was hanging on my tree, was all these staff visors until our Christmas party with the staff. Then all the visors walked out the door on the heads of people that were there, and it left a naked tree. And then whenever somebody would give me an ornament for Christmas gift. I would just go put it on the tree.
Yeah, I mean, it's
smile.
Like,
and that was all my tree had on it that year. Is that normal? No. Is it okay? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just needs to be okay.
It needs to be okay. That's the whole bottom line, you guys. You just need to be okay with what you can do and let the rest go.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have time for one more tip about the gift?
One more quick one, yep.
Okay. The other thing about the gift is that if in the boot camp, and you can do this on your own too, is just send an email out to the people in your very close, like your children and your spouse and maybe your parents and siblings who you're going to give gifts to, and have a little questionnaire. And on that questionnaire, don't just say, what do you want for Christmas? But instead, actually give them some thought-provoking questions. What are your favorite stores and restaurants? Well, right there with that question alone, you've reduced the big world down to, you know, Bath, Beauty, and Beyond or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, you now at least know a store to shop in. Maybe you can write some things you need, some stuff you'd like, some favorite hobbies, sports, or activities. And another one that was really fun for me to add in there is things that money can't buy. I loved getting the replies back from my family when I first did this, and we do this every year. And then the final area is holiday meals and party hosting. And once again, you want to step back and say, is everything I'm doing going to get me to my goal, which is to feel like blank when everybody walks out the door, and that they will feel toward me like blank as they're leaving my home?
That's great. Great, great advice. You have so many helps available to me on your workshops and the boot camps. How can folks contact you, book you to speak?
It's all over at marnie.com, and that's spelled M-A-R-N-I-E. And we have a really fun new thing that we're doing in 2013, which is called 21-Day Wins. And so every month during 2013, we're going to start on the first Tuesday of each month preparing, and on the first Friday of every month, well, not the first Friday, but the first Friday that falls after the first Tuesday, we're going to start on that Friday and go for 21 days together working on our own individual goals, but doing it together as a group. So over at marnie.com, you can get involved in those too, and everything's over there.
Yeah, and folks can download the wheel too, right?
Absolutely, and that's free right there on the bottom of the front page.
Marnie, thank you so much for everything. This was a great interview. I know, you know, taking time out of your busy schedule, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rita. It's been so fun to be here, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you. God bless. Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at siftedaswheat.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.